So, Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Vastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Bhaskatyade Satari Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadha Srivasadi Gobhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I warmly greet all of you to this continued reading of the afternoon session. We are still from 3:36 to 6 p.m. it takes place, and we are still in this, what is called the Aparana Leela, the afternoon pastimes. And we take a little time because this is perhaps for many sadhakas, at least here in this world, a pastime which they cannot listen to enough, because it describes the mood of the Brijbasis after Krishna had been out all day herding the cows, and now he's returning, and they are very, very inspired. So again, picture in your mind's eye, please, a road that leads from the forest of Vrindavan and goes to the village of Vrindavan. On the village gate, all the Brijbasis are standing, looking out towards the road. And then the first thing they see is, out of the forest already, a cloud of dust. Mother Earth should, whose name is Vasundhara, should actually cry out in pain, because there are so many sharp hoofs. We hear some of the cows have gold-plated, silver-plated hoofs. They're very sharp. But because Krishna walks after the cows, not in front, but after the cows, with his very soft lotus feet, which can remove the miseries of all those who turn to those lotus feet to worship it, the earth is jubilant. And it is sometimes described that in Krishna's footprints, out of the great jubilation of the earth, lotus flowers pop up. When you are very jubilant, very happy, it needs to come out in some ways, no? We human beings, we either slap in our hands, we may dance, we may exclaim Hari Bol or something like this. Mother Earth in that sense has no hands and feet and no voice, but she can glorify Krishna or express her joy of being touched by Krishna's lotus feet by just letting spontaneously flowers grow. That's a nice way to express jubilation. No? You must admit, if you could do that, that would be very nice. So, meanwhile, in Yavat, or I should say, Krishna takes one of two routes when he goes home. When Radharani is in Vashana, he drives the cows over Vashana because he wants to see Radha on his way home to Nandagram. Actually, I said that they wait at Vrindavan town. That's not correct in Nandagram. But if Radharani stays in Yavat, Krishna drives the cows over Yavat. So there are two roads or routes. So Srimati Radharani was at home, and she prepared varieties of sweets for Krishna, including some of his favorite dishes, such as, please repeat, Amrita Keli, Kapura Keli, and Piyusha Grantipalika, which are all very famous in Braja. This is something we should all look into it. When Radha feels so much separation from Krishna, but to overcome her separation from Krishna, she engages in the service of Krishna. We may sometimes feel dryness. Our separation from Krishna manifests in the term of in the form of dryness or lack of enthusiasm and so on. But to bridge over that period of dryness, we can engage in seva, and once we do this, our heart becomes again, gets some taste. No? Perhaps you have seen. So Radha cooks these famous sweets. Now, it's very interesting that Krishnadas Kaviraj says it's not a fault to listen how these sweets are composed. In other words, talking about these sweets with the idea that they will give pleasure to Krishna is not a fault. I would dare to say, we talk about nice meals with the idea that we would like to eat them, that is a fault. If we, for instance, now would go into a lengthy discussion about the special forms of burgers, vegetarian burgers, which are available next to Neuruppin, I think that would be a fault. We would be into sense gratification. But to discuss the composition of Krishna's sweets is not a fault, because it gives pleasure to Krishna. Therefore, please listen to the recipe of Amrita Keli sweets. Take ripe bananas, wheat flour, dal flour, coconut, pepper, condensed milk, wow, cardamom, cloves, nutmeg, cinnamon, and camphor, and fry all this in ghee, and then soak it in sugar, water, and serve Krishna. If any one of you would say, well, these are most properly the most undigestible, unhealthy ingredients, and then they're soaked in sugar water, after one sweet, I would have to go to hospital. You please remember, Krishna has a transcendent body. It is not, he doesn't follow our cultural considerations. Therefore, in case you have not yet been totally washed away, we will listen to the recipe of Kapura Keli. It consists of chickpea flour, yogurt, pepper, sugar, coconut powder, nutmeg, cardamom, cloves, bananas, and particles of fried mung batter, fried in ghee and soaked in honey, camphor, and condensed milk. These are sweets, my dear devotees. They are not just some they are true sweets, real sweets. They are really the real thing. I will not give you the recipe of the Piyusha Granti Palika. But I think you get the idea. So Srimati Radharani's maid servants have dressed and decorated her, and to get a better view of Krishna as he comes home to Nandagram, they climb a viewing tower. They are called moon towers because in the hot summer it is very pleasurable to climb these in the night and sit there and watch the moon. This is very relieves us from the day heat. No? And these are the moon towers. There are few moon towers in Braj. what a name, no? Moon tower. It's so cultural, so nice. And Radharani is there and looks for the darshan of Syam, but it's not yet possible because of the dust kicked up by the hoofs of the cows. But she's there. Now Yavat sits about 3 kilometers from northeast of Nandagram, and during the month when Radha resides there, Krishna goes there. We had this already. You must know that Krishna wants to see Radha because Radha gives him pleasure, the utmost pleasure. In the winter, hot winter, not cold winter, Srimati Radharani actually is like the yellow silk dress that warms him. In the summer, Radha is like the cooling sandalwood pulp mixed with camphor. Radha is also the Manasa Sarovara, where the swan of Krishna's mind can find total peace. You must know that the swans go to the Manasarova at the foothill of Kailash to mate. No? So Krishna finds great romantic pleasure in the association of Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani is for him what the Chataka, what the rain cloud is for the Chataka bird. She relieves him and quenches his insatiable thirst. And she is, that's why her name is Brishabhanu Nandini, the daughter of the sun. She is what the sun is for the lotus and what the moon is for the night blooming lily. In other words, in Radha's association, Krishna opens all his qualities. Just like a lotus flower and a lily, when touched by the rays of the sun or the moon, will develop their colors, their fragrances, their form. So Krishna only is fully Krishna in the association of Radha. He is not manifesting his full qualities of Krishna outside the association of Radha. Therefore, someone who worships Krishna without Radha will only obtain a drop of the nectarian ocean that is Krishna, because he's not fully manifested. interesting point. No, this is made by Prabodhananda Saraswati. So naturally, Krishna wants to be with Radha when he returns home. So finally, when the Sakis see that Krishna comes home, there is a special arrangement. Krishna tells Balaram, why don't you go a little bit ahead? And he stays back with his Priyanama Sakat. Sakas, what are their names? Subal is one. Madhumangal. Shridam is also amongst them. Yes. No, Shridam. Is not, because Shridam is the older brother of Radha, and he would not be comfortable to see his sister in a romantic relationship, just like Radha would also feel highly uncomfortable before her brother. So Shridam is with Balaram. But as you said correctly, Subal is there, Madhumangal, and one name you need to learn, Ujjwala. Ujjwala is also. Krishna now sees this beautiful Krishna Leela, is really hankering to see Srimati Radharani. He's fully in love, and his eyes roam around. She's now staying in Yavat. She must be somewhere. And as his eyes look around, he sees her where? On the moon tower. Would you like to hear his reaction? Bo, Shridam, he said. Huh? Here is Shridam. This is a mistake. So, Subal and all others, did you see that? Although she's not the goddess of the forest, here's some other goddess who inundates all the worlds with a flood of her elegance is there, and she has stolen everything from your dear friend Krishna. So Krishna says, like, I'm bewildered. I cannot control my mind any longer. Vibhakar, are you listening? Good. Yes. So now, when the Sakis have now seen, now comes their duty. The goal of the Sakis and the Manjaris is to bring all this Radha and Krishna together. This is more important for them than their own association with Krishna. Because they love Radha and they love Krishna, and they know that Radha is everything for Krishna. So they take her down from the moon tower and bring her to the side of the road. And when Krishna passes, they suddenly push her out of the bushes, and the divine couple see themselves from nearby, and they are startled. It is said in the Govinda Lilamrita that Krishna's eyes are, his glances are like reddish, like the river Saraswati, Radharani's glances are bluish like the river Yamuna, and both of their the whiteness of their eyes, you know, we have Radha's blue eyes, Krishna has, when he's so excited, it, they become a little red. But the whiteness is also always the same in all eyes. You can look into someone's eyes, you will see. And all together, and these three glances or colors come like three rivers who form one Triveni, one meeting point. And Radha and Krishna just look at each other without saying anything or moving, because they are overwhelmed by the loveliness of their limbs and their personalities. They are speechless. And helpless. They stand directly at the gates of the Nandagram and all the elders is just there, you know, it's on the road. So their relationship is a well-kept secret. So they cannot express anything in the view and so on. So by now Tulsi Manjari has delivered the dishes which Radharani has prepared. Do you remember the names of the sweets? Amrita Keli, Kapuri Keli, and a very complicated name.
Yes, I also don't remember. Let's say this again, because we want to learn all this. Yeah, it's with Pave. Yeah, here. Piyusha, listen and then say, Piyusha Granti Palika. Piyusha Granti Palika sweet. Yes. It is similar, only it's soaked in Panchamrita, yogurt, milk, ghee, honey, and sugar.
So all these sweets are delivered by Tulasi into the hands of Yashoda, and Krishna now needs to tear himself away from Radha and catches up with Balaram just before Balaram moves into Nandagram, in the outskirts of Balaram. Yashoda has engaged Rohini in cooking the main meal of rice, dal, and vegetables from her personal garden. Did you know this? Yashoda has a personal garden where she takes care that all the ingredients for Krishna's meal are of the highest quality. Rice is in there, dal, vegetables, everything. There is also one other lady there, who is the wife of Nanda's younger brother, Nandana. Her name is Atula, and she is helping Rohini in cooking. Then as Balaram and Krishna come to the gate, they drop everything they are doing and go to the gate to greet Krishna. We will end here. It's dragging on, but I just wanted to share with you something I read today, which will make you convinced how special Braj is. You know, we heard a lot about the goduli, the dust which is raised by the hooves of the cows, and we know about the dust. There was one king from Lucknow who became a great devotee of Radha Raman, and eventually left Lucknow to take up residence and seva in Braj. And he had a very special relationship to the dust of Braj. He would actually not answer any nature's call in the dust of Braj. He would worship the dust. He had clay vessels brought from Agra, and he would somehow answer nature's call in the clay vessels, and they would be carried by servants out of Braj. He had two treasures, this great king, who became initiated in hell with the name Lalit Kishore. And he kept these two treasures in a treasure vault. In German language we would say Schatzkiste, you know, a treasure box. And he used his money to build a large temple, which I want to see when we are in Vrindavan town. When I was very young inside. It's the Sahaj Mandir. It's a beautiful Mandir. It's not so old, it's from the 18th century. And yeah, so he made the most opulent Mandir. When you go in there still, you will see it's very, very opulent. And when you enter, you have to walk over a mosaic which shows him and his wife, because they wanted to get the dust of every pilgrim on them. So therefore the floor mosaic is like this. Then So he was very wealthy, but his two treasures was one picture of Radha Raman and a ball of dust which he had made by mixing the Charanamrita of Radha Raman with the dust. It was a big ball of dust. He took every day a little from it. That was his faith in the Braj Duty. So therefore in our Vaishnav line you hear a lot is made out of the dust. You know, also when Krishna comes home, a lot is made from, a lot of talk is there about the dust. We will end here and put the Aparana Leela to rest, and if Radha and Krishna are kind upon us, we will continue tomorrow. Maybe we will conclude. We don't know, because Krishna is so wonderful. Jai Jai Sri Radhe Shyam.